can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to
We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone. Now, let's start the timer. Jay, how do you feel today? Jay, how are you doing today?
Weirdly enough, I'm okay. I'm busy. If you're watching the video, you can see the massive amount of clutter behind me still in my spare bed because this is the room that I don't stay in. So it's my like dump things here and then sort it out when you have time. And so welcome to my life. I have a lot going on this week and it's a little stressful, but other than that, I'm actually doing okay. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I started getting sick last night, so I think I've got this weird combination of like allergies and exhaustion.
I bet. Mm. You've had a lot going on, and you sound terrible and disgusting. And
thank you.
Yuck.
Yeah, I know. My coworker said that I sounded like I was in a bad mood, and I was like, I'm not in a bad mood. He's like, oh, well, then you're lethargic. And I was like, well, bitch.
You in a bad mood? No, I'm just... I'm tired.
I am tired. Yeah. but no, I'm good. I had that work trip. The work trip was fine. I have not been on an impromptu work trip in God knows how long. So that was really interesting. And I it was super quick turnaround, but it was an easy trip for the most part. And it was cool to go see a different part of the business that I hadn't actually seen before. And yeah, otherwise I'm doing pretty well. It's not a busy week for me, but I had my work performance review today. And so now I have some things I just need to work on for some goals that my boss gave me during our review. So I have new projects. Yeah, nothing bad. It was all good. And I just have some projects that I need to work on. That's it.
Well, I mean... I love when they're not bad.
No, it's definitely not bad. It's just me trying to figure out some... we implemented some new production cycles, and I just need to determine whether or not they're actually effective at what we intended them to do, because I think they were implemented and nobody is checking in on them to see if they're actually doing what we intended them to do.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to get the data together for that to see, yes, this is working the way it should, or yes, this is working sort of how it should, maybe we can improve this, or no, this is not working how it should, we need to look at the whole thing all together, all over again.
Yeah.
But yeah. So otherwise I've been good. It's been busy here. We obviously, listeners, we didn't do an episode last week because I was in North Carolina and I did not have reliable internet there. To the point that I couldn't even, it took me an hour to watch an episode of Bob's Burgers the first night. And so the rest of the time I was there, I just watched things that I already had on my laptop.
porn?
No, actually, that's kind of a Joe thing. Joe has the pre-recorded porn. I've got a bunch of horror movies.
I mean, that's a good thing to have stored, I guess. It's one's got porn. Horror and one's got horror.
Horror. But no, I watched horror movies that I had downloaded beforehand just to make sure I had on hand in case, because I was in the middle of nowhere, North Carolina. North Carolina obviously is going through a state of emergency presently. Ooh, and I was not dead in the middle of that. I was just to the east of it, but I was close enough that I knew, like, I wasn't banking on anything being reliable.
Right.
But I got pretty lucky. I mean, we had internet, like things worked. It just, you know, not enough for me to be able to record an episode of this. So we had to take the week off.
Yeah. So sorry you missed our therapy.
Yeah.
But we had time to recover, I guess.
Yeah, we needed it.
Oh my God. Yeah. After last episode.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, my God. Well, between that, and I think just you got so much going on, and I had so much going on last week. And then, of course, we put the floors in over the weekend.
That's right.
Which they look great, but, like, the day I got back from North Carolina, we had company in from Washington, D.C., and so we spent the evening with them, and then immediately went to work on my regular schedule the next day at 7. I got there, and then, like, after that, I didn't actually do much on Friday evening. I'll give it that. But then, like, Saturday and Sunday, I spent most of the day working on the floor, which it looks awesome, and I'm so glad it's done. We've been intending to do it for, like, a decade, and we finally did, and it looks so good.
Doesn't it feel good when you finish that?
It was really nice. I was trying to have it done before Joe got home from work, but I was down to the last row, and I needed his help with it, so we did have to finish that one together. But let me tell you, when I put that last piece in, and it clicked in, and it was nice, and it was level and even, I was like, fuck yes.
Such a good feeling.
I know. Now we're going to paint and redo the trim, because I think we're motivated to actually get it done to a degree that makes it look a little different than it did before.
Yeah. I like how I did and I was like, I'm going to sell this house.
Well, and that'll help us sell it, too. And I think that's the other thing, is that, like, this is a minor investment for a major turnaround. I mean, it's one little thing, and it only cost us, you know, $1,300 at the end of the day with all the extras we had to buy. But, like, it's easily going to net us more than that when it comes to equity. So,
yeah,
worth it.
Faux shizzle.
Yeah, I mean, if it only took me a weekend to put in the floor, hit for shizzle. Shut the fuck up.
I can't even say that now without thinking.
Wrong podcast.
Oh, I hate that I ruined that joke for me.
But all that is to say, everything's been going really well. You know, for the most part, as far as, like, mental health is concerned, the past couple of weeks were a little bit of a struggle. Last week was stressful because not only did I have that impromptu travel, but in the midst of doing that, I ended up, for the sake of ease, putting a couple of things on my card to get reimbursed. And I only took my debit card with me because I didn't even think about it. I didn't think about bringing credit cards. I haven't been using them, so they're living in a cabinet right now, so I can pay down credit card debt. And budget rental car will not rent you a car without a credit card.
Yeah.
They will not do it. And so I
learned
get
that
my
the hard way once too.
Yeah, that was really frustrating. And then I ended up getting one through Hertz, and they put, like, a $500 hold on my account.
Yeah.
And so it was that, and then, like, a couple other things that I was like, I've got, like, over $1,000 tied up and just waiting for them to give me back reimbursements.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
So that was mildly stressful because it was impromptu. And then, of course, like, it's not just my account, it's also Joe's account. So, like,
I have definitely learned the hard way to always travel with credit card, because I have gotten stuck at scenarios that I've had to resolve. But now I'm just like, here, just use this.
Well, so that's the thing, is I will definitely bring a credit card with me next time. I haven't had to do an impromptu work trip in ages. This is the first one for this company I've ever been on in a year and a half since I started. And I just, before the company I worked with previously, I always had a travel card. So I never thought about it. I just always had my travel card with me. I never, almost never had to put anything on a personal card.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't occur to me. And I didn't know I was going on this trip till 11 a.m. the day of.
Yeah.
And then I was there at 5. Well, I was on the plane at 5 p.m. that same day. So less than, 7 hours later, I was on a flight.
Well, you're traveled. You're good to go.
I mean, I am at least one of those people that, it was weird because my boss kept asking me, is that going to be okay? Is that enough time? Are you comfortable traveling by yourself? And I was like, are there people who aren't? But I didn't realize till later. I was like, I bet there are plenty of people who aren't comfortable traveling by themselves because they're not used to doing it. And I just got used to it for work all the time, because it wasn't like I was traveling all the time for work, but I traveled probably 5 or 6 times a year. And so I was up in a plane every 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was appreciative that I was comfortable with it. So it's been a hectic couple of weeks. Tensions were a little high last week, but this week feels pretty good, aside from me being sick today. But I'm glad to be done with the bedroom floor. I'm glad we're really making progress there. We've got Tulsa Pride this weekend, which I know October, but at the same time, I'm so excited about it because it's not going to be hot as balls outside.
Yeah. That sounds nice. So, yeah,
there's good things going on.
Completely forgot. Tulsa moved their Pride to this weekend, and I'm technically going to be briefly in Houston this weekend.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
Yes.
Mm. Oh, you and I earlier, this is unrelated to Tulsa Pride, but this is more related to mental health in our journeys. When we were talking about ChatGPT.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have struggled so hard with this stupid manuscript that I wrote for this novel, and feeling like it's just all garbage. I ran the first 3 chapters of the book through ChatGPT to get some feedback on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all really positive. I mean, there was opportunities, obviously. ChatGPT does a good job of making sure it tells you, if you have stuff you need to work on. But, it was just nice to get that unbiased feedback to say, here's some things you're doing well. Here's what you can do better.
I haven't even thought about that.
You can't run the whole thing through. I was like, I wonder, I copied and pasted all 300 some odd pages of it in there. And it was like, ha, 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 no.
I was thinking of going chapter by chapter.
So that's what I did for the first 3 chapters. I had it sort of in a string of conversation. And man, let me tell you, I listened to the speaker that made me second guess my first chapter of this novel, because the first chapter is the hook. You got to get people's teeth into it in the first chapter, or else nobody's going to care to keep reading it.
Yeah.
And I was concerned about it based off of not feedback from him, but just some things, generic things the speaker said that made me think okay, well, I'm doing that a little bit in my first chapter. And he's saying hard pass. But then I was also why would you be hard pass on any sort of art just because of a technicality? Because, it's art. I guess if your technical process is wrong and the end product doesn't look good, then there's room for improvement. But if the technical process isn't what you think it should be, but the end result works, does it matter?
Yeah.
Because it's art. It's not I'm not building a fucking bridge. If I don't follow the technical processes for it, it's not going to, kill anyone.
Right. Art is subjective.
Art is subjective.
Books are
That's what I always tell my coworker, except when he's wrong. I'm like, art is subjective, except when you're wrong, and then you're just wrong.
Art is subjective until I don't like it.
Exactly. But it was really reinforcing the things that I thought I did well in those chapters, and parts of my writing that I think I do well, and things that I think I can improve, because sometimes I tell rather than show. And I catch myself doing it because it's easy, because it's an easy sort of thing that I'm not as used to as the technical aspects of the work are concerned. It's not as ingrained in me to show rather than tell all the time. I do a decent job of it, but I can do better.
I love how overly critical we are of ourselves.
Oh, all the time. I had my performance review today at work, and I will tell you, I've come a long way with my performance reviews at work where I don't care as much. And it's like one of the ratings was on passion. That was literally a section of the performance review for the year. And my boss rated me a 3 out of 4. And he was like, you can try to sell me against it. And I was like, no. That's right. 3 out of 4 is right. I don't just love coming in here and doing my job. I like it. I come in. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I enjoy being here, but I'm never going to say like, wow, I really love this.
This is amazing. I am so invested. I mean,
I was pretty honest with him about the stuff that I constantly would lie about in other situations because I thought that was the right answer. You know, you're always trying to give somebody the answer they want.
Yeah.
It's not that I was consciously necessarily lying. It was more of like I was lying to them because I was also lying to myself.
Oh, yeah. That's what I do. Well, did.
Yeah.
Now I'm definitely the same way.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah, you 3 out of 4 sounds right. Dead on. Well, I'm never going to be a 4, but 2 is a needs improvement, and I'm always going to have just enough passion to be here and do my job and do it well.
Just enough passion. Well, and I've also been in my company so long, and I think the burnout is there that my lies just aren't convincing, so I can't even walk in and be like, oh my God, what are you talking about? I'm so passionate about company data. But the problem I have now is I'm getting too blunt.
I want to get a plaque for your desk at work that says, I'm Jay. I'm passionate about company data.
And then next to it will be the plaque that I made that says, society requires us to work, and this is tolerable.
Yeah, I'm passionate about paying my bills and shoveling food in my fucking fat mouth.
I'm passionate about spending money, and this supplies that need.
This is what gets those stupid tortilla chips into the stupid salsa and then into my stupid mouth.
Into my stupid face. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, God. I'm trying to not be that way so much, but I'm just, like, I'm tired of faking it.
I think there's something good to be said about having honesty in certain aspects of your work. Like, I got a 3 out of 4 for attendance, and I was like, yep, that's about what it's going to be. And like, I'm never going to be so weird with my attendance that you're like, that's problematic, but I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to be shooting for perfect attendance. It's not going to happen.
I feel like I'm definitely like borderlining that. Yeah, you're fine, but like, just keep an eye on it, and I'll be like, that's what I do, and that's why I'm not in trouble. It's because I just keep an eye on it.
You ride the cusp.
And I'm like, also, I am using what time is allotted to me, and so that's what I'm watching, just so you know. I'm not watching how it looks to anyone. I'm watching how I use my time the way I want to.
Yeah.
Don't presume to give me time and then guilt me for using it in whatever fashion I choose.
That was my last job, and it was devastating to me. Like, I didn't realize how devastating it was until I got to the point where I realized I needed to be taking that time.
Yep.
And I had always been guilted into not doing it, and so when I started trying to do it, it stood out even more compared to people who took it already. Like, it looked like I was doing bad, but I wasn't doing worse than everybody else. I was actually still doing better, but it looked worse because it wasn't what they were used to from me. Right.
Yeah, exactly. That was me whenever I went through cancer, and I was like, I am not going to feel that guilt anymore. This is my time.
I love whenever corporations get all like, we need to embrace change. But then whenever you change your habits to reflect a more balanced work-life balance, they're like, wait a second. We didn't mean to embrace that change.
Well, and I also really appreciate these companies that go through culture changes, everything they do to make their staff feel a better culture throughout the company, yet nothing from a higher level changes. And I'm like, all right, so what's happening is you're dropping the obligation of a culture change on your employees without you doing anything. And so then you guilt the employees when the culture isn't to what you think it should be without you having to do anything. So you try to gaslight everyone into being like, oh, this is our fault. It's not getting better.
They said, we implemented these changes. Why are you not adhering to them? Well, you said things changed, but your expectations have not changed.
Yeah.
And that's evident in our day-to-day work. So like,
yeah, that's evident in the behaviors we get from the higher up levels. That's evidence in everything. And it's, then sometimes I'm like, am I just an arrogant prick that I see life differently? Like, so then I always have to stop and ask, and maybe my therapist is also an arrogant prick, which if she listens, I don't think she does. She like stops all the time and justifies like my thinking. She's like, you know, you're allowed to think that way without being in trouble.
Well, that's where she's right. I mean, it's not being an arrogant prick to expect that when a business tells you that you need to act a certain way, that should start from the top down. Because the people who have the most to lose or gain from that are the people at the top.
Speaking of things that my therapist have said that threw me off, she threw me one this last session because, you know, I went through my breakup. Last time we recorded, it was 2 days after it. And while I was fine, I was still sensitive towards it. Well, then week and a half later, the last Thursday, so it had been a week and a half, basically, after the breakup, I like went in and I was kind of sad about the topic, but I'd already had time to think it through. And so I talked about it with her, and she's like, I don't know how you see it, but from my perspective, just by the way you're discussing this and by all the details you've given, it just sounds like you grew out of the relationship. Things weren't progressing to a healthy level that you needed because you've been growing. And I was like, huh? And she goes, the reason I think that you handled it the way you did, where it kind of came off as you giving the option, but not saying, hey, we're breaking up. She goes, I think it was because you've never had the confidence in yourself or the understanding that growing out of the relationship, or that's what you were doing. She's like, you've never been in that position before. And she's like, I think your mental health is improving still.
I was like,
oh, that's a lot to take in. I don't know.
That's awesome. That's like,
that
that's
was
the,
such the weirdest thing to hear, because I've always, you know, been the guy who was just like, oh, I mean, I don't know what to do, but I guess I'll be the victim in this. And now I'm just like, ah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's that fabled good grade at therapy everyone's been looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the most unique session because, you know, she asked me how I felt about it. Did I feel it was the right decision, all that stuff? And I was like, yeah, I actually do. And I'm like, which is so weird to say. And then at the end, she brought that up. And I'm like, that is not what I expected out of this. I really expected for you to see this deep, broken side of me that I've been hiding for a while until I gained your trust or until a situation came along just right. And I'm like, and in the week and a half since this happened that I was going to talk to you, I made sense of it all for the most part.
That's awesome. That's really awesome.
It's so weird to see that, too. Like, just, I don't know. Then she's like, well, what's your next plan in dating? And I was like, okay, well, that's down the road. But I was like, the worst part about it is now I'm interested in dating, like, attachment styles. I'm interested in talking about that stuff. And she's like, see, you're learning from all this. And I'm like, my problem is a lot of people aren't mentally healthy and understanding of that. And I said, so I've literally just cut my dating pool down into a fraction.
But that's size. Probably not a bad thing, because otherwise you're going to go through all this series of like bad relationships.
I was like, that's healthy. I mean, yes, I'm not going to just have all these bad relationships, but I'm like, oh, but it's for me, it's just going to feel daunting when I'm just like, no, thanks, no, thanks, no, thanks, no, thanks.
Take this personality test. I need to know some things.
I'm sending you this link. And I need you to go through this questionnaire before I get invested emotionally.
I need you to know your love languages. And if you answer Drag Race, we can just go ahead and stop right now.
If that is your sole source of everything, then I'm out. I can't. I need you to have more.
Although I think I could probably gauge people's personality based off of their favorite drag queen if they're like really deep into it. Like, forget the zodiac, tell me who your patron saint of drag is.
From Drag Race, let me think. It used to be what was her name, Bianca Del Rio.
Yes,
I'm like, loved her. I still do, but I feel like it's starting to all repeat itself to where I'm just like, okay, well, nah, it's kind of wearing down. But in general, like, the snark shit talk, love that. I don't know why, but I really have a soft spot for Benda LaCrim, because
I could see that. That is 100% you.
She's creative, and I'll never forget her Julie Andrews rap. And while it was fantastic. But she tries really hard to be nice and the people pleaser with everyone, and then she caves when things get too pressured, but still, like, I just think she's creative and has a good heart.
I love the weird queens. I think that's, like, always my go-to. Give me a weird queen. Give me somebody who's outside the box. Give me a Willow Pill. Give me a Gottmik. Give me a Alaska Thunderfuck.
That's true. And I really do appreciate the ones that come in with this wild style that is just that makes me go, ugh, every time. But I'm so bad at memorizing their names that.
Yeah, I only memorize the ones that I really enjoy, where like and the ones who are really good that I stand out to me. But like Gottmik is one that I just, from the moment they were performing, I was like, they're just incredible. They're so intelligent and artistic and just absolutely have style down to a fucking, like, they know themselves a little better than like what you see in other queens sometimes. Yeah. And I always appreciate that.
I genuinely would have to like scroll through a list of everyone that's been on the show to be like, oh yeah, love them.
We will watch All Stars, because we've been catching up. We finally caught up on Drag Race, and we watched All Stars. And somebody will come in, and I'm like, I don't know who that is. I've seen every fucking season of the show. I don't know who that is. And they'll say their name, and I'm like, nope, still no idea. Don't know who the fuck you are.
The Canadian one. Which one did I like?
Jimbo.
Jimbo. Yeah.
I fucking love Jimbo.
Jimbo, that is definitely a top one for me. Just someone who can grasp who they are and
it's
just
knowing
bring
who
out
you are and just saying fuck you to everyone else.
Yeah, and bring out the most unique style to anything, like her Shirley Temple. That's not something you'd ever see her dress as, but she pulled the character so fucking well. It was her personality in it. And
Yeah, I love Jimbo. I think Jimbo can do just about anything.
That's kind
there
of an
are
inspiration
a few queens
for
who
me.
Are like
is
that?
That's it. It's an inspiration for me to see someone just so comfortable with themselves that they can just pour out real art.
I think that's really what I've struggled with in writing is I keep thinking about ways to make things marketable, and I just need to sort of like, I need to tap into the things that hurt the most. And I think that's where I struggle the most because I worry those aren't marketable, but I just getting the raw product onto paper is the most important piece, and then refining it can come later.
I will say that my writing, going back through it, I do a really good job about, because I'm partially basing some parts off of me in a sense, but not directly me. Right. And I can deeply describe a lot of this emotion, this confusion in my character, this feeling that they don't understand. Like I really appreciate that I'm linking it to me in some ways because it's making some of the detail parts really just flourish. Mm.
Yeah, it does help. And I think, you know, when you're writing, that's what you're doing is you're putting yourself onto the paper. That's what all yeah. art is to some degree when you're doing it right.
Yeah.
So little bits of you that you either are parts of you or parts of you you've picked up from other people that you've kept somewhere tucked away. So yeah, I get it. I mean, I 100% get it because my writing is related to me in most cases as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been curious how this book turns out. I've actually been working on it some since I've been downtown because the weather's been nice enough that I've been able to go out, sit on patios, and just write.
Nice. You it's and I really need to start bouncing that off
relaxing.
One another.
I know. Again.
But not this week.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the U.S. or Canada, or 85258 in the U.K., or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.